That doesn't even.
Good evening and welcome to the Tuesday, May 7th, 2013, City of Arroyo Grande Planning Commission meeting. Debbie, can we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Barnidge.
Here.
Commissioner Keane.
Here.
Commissioner Martin.
Here.
Commissioner Sparrow.
Here.
And Chair Ruth.
Here. Please join Commissioner Martin in the flag salute. Agenda review. Do we see any reason to change the items and the order of the items? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to community comments and suggestions. This is the time for anyone to come and speak to the Planning Commission on any item within our jurisdiction, but that's not on the agenda tonight. And we'll ask you to limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to the Commission? All right. All right, consent agenda, approval of minutes. Recommended action is approving the minutes of the April 16th meeting. And does anyone have any corrections, additions, deletions?
I do.
Yes, go ahead, John.
On page four, down on the action, you gave the things that we discussed and should be in there, mm-hmm. and the electrical panels was left out of that. In here, and then I'll address the staff report later.
Okay, so you want to add on to, in the action paragraph, add on?
Yeah, where it says pedestrian access, landscape, LED lights, mm-hmm. and equipment on roof. To be
okay.
screened.
Add
and. Then it should have said electric boxes too.
Okay, panels. Debbie, and add and electrical boxes. Is that the right wording? After equipment on the roof to be screened. And while we're at it, I just had a. Assistant Planner Nygaard reported that he spoke with Mr. Diaz. Second line, concerned with losing the internal entrance, and losing is just has an extra O in it. All right, anything else? All right, then I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. King?
Yes.
Commissioner Barnidge?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Sparrow?
Continued consideration of conditional use permit 12-010, development code amendment 13-001, and plan sign program 13-001, location East Grand Avenue and South Elm, applicant Grand and Elm Properties. And may we have a staff report, please?
Yes, good evening, Commissioners. The Arroyo Grande Shopping Center application is comprised of three components: a development code amendment, a conditional use permit, and a plan sign program. A mitigated negative declaration document was prepared and has been circulated for public review. One new comment was received. To provide a quick overview, the Arroyo Grande Shopping Center is located at the intersection of East Grand Avenue and South Elm Street. The center was constructed in the 1960s, and the buildings and site facilities are ready for updating. The site is currently underutilized, void of landscaping and pedestrian connections required by the guidelines for East Grand Avenue mixed-use districts. The Planning Commission reviewed this project April 16th and requested additional information prior to making a recommendation. In the shops on both ends and adding a new construction on the east side. It will apply facade renovations and articulation to all the existing structures, front and back, such as trellises, awnings, and towers, add landscaping and pedestrian-oriented amenities such as street furniture, fountains, and reorganized parking. Based on the comments from the Omni Means Review and the Planning Commission, the applicant has revised the project site plan to include medians at the main entry on East Grand and South Elm entry to better direct traffic at these points. They also revised the location of the Building A Plaza. If the Development Code Amendment to allow the drive-through is recommended for approval, then the design arrangement for location of the drive-through lane and the plaza area at Building A become an issue to be evaluated by the East Grand Avenue design standards, which I'll discuss later. Now, in order to approve the drive-through, findings for a Development Code Amendment are required to be made because the use is currently not allowed in this zoning district. The proposed code amendment will limit the location of this and future drive-throughs to shopping centers with three or more major tenants. The proposed drive-through design exits internally into the for a drive-through requires no interference with off-site circulation patterns. The drive-through use itself does generate additional traffic, which will create additional traffic on East Grand Avenue. However, the volumes are anticipated to be accommodated by the street. The main circulation issue is the physical removal of the internal access to the car wash property and the effects this creates on circulation. As requested by the Planning Commission on April 20th, at that meeting, the applicant provided the revised site plan, which incorporated all the Omni Means recommendations, with the exception of the parallel storage queuing lane for the car wash. The Traffic Commission recommended the applicant's revised site plan without the on-site storage lane to be approved with the caveat that the city attorney be consulted regarding prescriptive rights for the car wash business to use the shopping center and the city's liability for approving a project that could create a traffic hazard. The response is that prescriptive rights to approve the Development Code Amendment, the findings need to be made that the project does not result in adverse impacts on adjacent properties and residents and does not interfere with on- or off-site circulation patterns. To mitigate traffic impacts created by closing the internal access to the car wash, the Omni Means Review identified a mitigation measure for an on-site storage queuing lane located on the shopping center property. Due to the response received to the measure, the text has been amended to allow an alternative mitigation to reduce the traffic impact as an alternative demonstration that the operation of the car wash is not or will not cause queuing onto East Grand Avenue. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission direct staff to schedule a review of the car wash operation at its next meeting on May 21st. If the findings for the Development Code Amendment are made, then the design of the drive-through and the plaza are required to meet the East Grand Avenue design guidelines. The plaza area design has evolved through the various processing reviews and based on the last Planning Commission with the building. Each design presents a different set of issues. The current design removes the pedestrian activity area from the sidewalk, presents the drive-through along the back of the sidewalk with a landscape strip separation, and continues to require pedestrians to cross the vehicle lane. Staff reviewed another design that presented the building along the street with the drive-through in a horseshoe shape to the south of the building. But this configuration also required patrons to cross the drive-through lane to enter the building and added an additional conflict with deliveries. To the building, while the previous design located the activity area at the sidewalk. Other discussion at the Planning Commission included the ARC's recommendation to retain the existing pedestrian connection to Poplar Street and to add new landscaping along the Poplar Street wall. Testimonies at that meeting regarding the access presented it as a nuisance area. Staff acknowledges that in its present condition, the access empties into the loading zone and backside of the current buildings. However, with the project and neighbors and the businesses. After the staff report was prepared, the Tree Guild also had the opportunity to make a recommendation regarding the magnolia trees and landscaping along Poplar. Their recommendation is to retain the trees with a variety of provisions, such as provide limited irrigation to keep the tree growth small, root prune and install root barriers, remove the existing asphalt and replace with a mulch ground cover with a curb at the backside of the wall, sidewalk, and to plant a creeping fig vine on the wall. Last meeting, the applicant will provide ground signs that meet the size requirements for the City Council review. In conclusion, it is recommended that the Planning Commission, one, adopt a resolution recommending that the City Council adopt the mitigated negative declaration and approve the project, and two, direct staff to schedule conditional use permit case 93508 for Bob's Car Wash for review on May 21st,
2013. Okay. Thank you, Eileen.
Actually, I just some impacts that are associated between the shopping center and that property, but before you tonight is really just the shopping center. So, you know, the questions, comments really just need to be narrowly tailored to the shopping center and the queuing issues related to Bob's Car Wash. So, if things start to, we're not here to look at Bob's Car Wash, that the use there, primarily just the shopping center. So,
all right, thank you. Okay, do we have any questions of staff?
I do. Along those lines, I know we're just looking at the car wash, but it looks like we're not looking at the car wash tonight. We're looking at the shopping center. But along those lines, I'm curious about this conditional use. Staff is proposing, will that enable the developers to go ahead and build, do what they need to do, or are they in limbo until the conditional use permit case with Bob's Car Wash is resolved?
I think, and Teresa could probably clarify, what you have before you is you could either recommend approval of the project with the on-site mitigation, or you can not approve that mitigation measure, and in the interim, you can direct staff to schedule the review hearing for Bob's Car Wash CUP, or for Bob's CUP. In relation to that impact.
Okay. So they're still tied to getting the solution before they could go forward. Or I guess then we could approve it and then suggest that things be continued but not make it a condition, perhaps. And then that would try to allow the city room to resolve the issue with the car wash without holding up the shopping center. Or we could send it, I guess, to the City Council with our recommendation.
That's correct.
Okay. Just trying to go through the options. Thanks.
Any questions?
No, thanks.
Kristen?
Teresa, can for that, and I'd like to have all the information.
I can't show it in graphic form, but, you know, again, emphasizing that in order to solve various issues on the site. Staff, as well as the applicant, has looked at a myriad of configurations of that drive-through restaurant and its proximity to adjacent uses. In this most recent review, Eileen had drawn out a scenario that with the drive-through lane kind of coming up through the interior of the shopping center property and then back down through, and that was, you know, it had some good points to it, obviously, placing that primary frontage on East Grand Avenue, but again, did not solve the issue of pedestrians getting out of their cars, crossing that lane, getting into the restaurant, and also complicating an already, you know, complicated delivery truck
behind the it was behind the restaurant.
Correct.
Like that, sort of. Okay, so it would, I see how it would conflict with everybody trying to get into the restaurant because it wrapped around the back.
Sure. It just didn't really solve that important issue.
Okay. Thank you. I think those are all the questions I have of staff.
John?
I'll wait till after the...
Okay. And I had a question. The rear access, you know, the access in the rear, is that still part of the proposal? Looking up to the podium.
Good evening, Chair Ruth, members of the Commission. My name is Jennifer Dahl with Perkowitz and Ruth Architects, here representing Grand and Elm Partners. I also have Mr. Phil Fontes, the partner with Grand and Elm, and David Schindier, LLG Associates, to answer any questions as well. Staff has given a thorough staff report, and we concur with their findings. However, I would like to reiterate and highlight an important items. We have listened to your comments and suggestions. As mentioned in the staff report, we went back to the Traffic Commission on Monday, April 29th, 2013, per your recommendation. And disagreed with Omimine's recommendation of adding the queuing lane on the property. In addition, they did not support the alternative on-site storage lane. They believe that the site plan in front of you and in the staff report addresses the traffic issues and related items for this project. As a reminder, we agreed to keep the Keep Clear at the Grand entrance on Grand Avenue, install an exit-only sign to prevent patrons from turning immediately left upon entering the shopping center pad to pat a feet and shortened the left turn pocket eastbound Grand Avenue at Elm Street from 100 feet to 40 feet. In addition, we've added this pork chop median, forcing individuals to turn basically right out onto Elm. The drive-through, therefore, this driveway will be a right turn in and right out access point separated by the pork chop median. The southern access between the shopping center and the car wash will remain open, and the car wash patrons will now be forced to exit with and enter into the shopping center, leaving the car wash. In addition, the park Second of all, at Planning Commission hearing, there was a discussion of various trees within the use trees within the project. Our landscape architect revised the landscape plan, and I have provided you a copy as well. I really know nothing about trees, but after several discussions, I believe that this satisfies the landscape plan. However, we will continue to work with staff on this plan, as the landscape plan will have to go back to ARC for final approval. Thirdly, there was discussion about providing an on-site storage lane for the use of a car wash. In September, we met with ironically, this layout came into discussion to provide a turn lane solely for the car wash patrons. However, after lengthy discussions with your electeds, reviewing and looking at this plan, it was determined that it would not work as it would cause additional problems on Grand and Elm. The reasons being, it can confuse a driver, especially if an out-of-towner, between the lane to enter the car wash and to turn on to Elm Street, even with correct signage. On a busy day, if the stacking lane is utilized by a car wash patron, should an individual decide to leave, they really can't because they're now forced to swing out on the stacking lane can possibly continue to block the major grand entrance driveway into the shopping center. Finally, the stacking lane is too close to a major intersection. So again, they agreed, your traffic commission, that providing a sole use of a stacking lane for the car wash patrons would not be feasible for this project. There was also discussion about complying to the Grand Avenue mixed-use guidelines. As stated before, we have done nearly over 10 site plan schemes, brainstormed, met with electeds, trying to figure out a way to possibly resolve this issue. Something the goal that the Grand and Elm partners want to do for the shopping center. We came up with two alternative plans that can further discuss the Grand mixed-use design guidelines by having the building up onto the street. So this is plan one, why as to why it will not work. Cars turning in off of Grand Avenue to access building pad A will basically have to be forced to make an immediate left into the shopping center and make it a hard right, I guess, to access the building pad A. On a busy day, especially with this keep clear access here or keep clear striping here, you can have perfectly drive-through pad needs 7 cars from the pickup window to the menu board to continue to load out onto the major drive aisle. Although we have 18 parking stalls, I did not include ADA, an ADA path, nor a path of travel from the rear parking lot to the front of the store. So this can continue to cause, I guess, an additional loss of parking. And please know that this is my wonderful hand sketch. Also, we had to decrease the landscape medians in order to align turning capabilities into the parking lot for therefore, cars would be parked in building pad A would also have to now exit on to the drive-thru. So you'd have someone possibly backing, if I'm here, backing up, they could possibly back out this way, or if there's congestion, they're kind of forced to back out that way into whatever the drive-thru lane as well. Also, how would the customers access the front of the building? Obviously, they would have to walk around to the front, but do they cross the drive-thru lane? Regardless, if you were to move the plaza area from the east to the west side of the pad to match the existing pedestrian path of travel to building pad plaza B, customers still have to walk across the main entrance to the drive-through pad. 24 feet drive aisle required at the end of the drive-through lane unless you want people to turn left onto Elm. So if I'm here, you're now going to have to somehow force people to turn right unless you're going to be willing to let them cut across as someone's entered, coming from either the car wash or coming from Elm Street. And finally, secondly, delivery trucks delivering the building, there's no way that they can deliver to this building pad A. And finally, it's not leasable. So why doesn't this plan work? In addition to the points made for plan one, this plan doesn't work because now you're forcing people to drive further in. Therefore, in order to achieve the design guidelines, we proposed to provide a pedestrian accessible entrance off of East Grand. The pedestrian entrance will have a gateway arbor with landscape and will be signed for not only for watch for vehicles. In addition, the watch for pedestrian sign will be placed for cars leaving the drive-through lane. The access area will also be well lit. Because this is a rough design, we propose to continue to work with staff and ARC on this gateway arbor. This will be located. Pad A. In addition, there was discussion regarding the sizes of the monument and building directory signs. I've also provided you a copy of the revised monument and directory signs, which show that we now do comply with the municipal code. Finally, there have been discussions about keeping the rear access stairs open to the shopping center. We understand staff's and ARC's desire to maintain the open connectivity from the neighborhood to the shopping center. However, after deep walkability, the access causes more problems to the shopping center owner and the current and future tenants. In order to provide the ramp access and maintain the stairs, we will need to do the following. We will need to provide a path of travel from the ramp to the corner of the cookie crock. Although you have a access path of travel from Grand and Elm Street, which suffices the ADA code requirements, the building official actually now requires a path of travel from the ramp to the first accessible building. In his words, you just can't dump someone off the ramp and expect them to find their way. Accessible route is needed. In order to achieve this, we will need to move the trash enclosure closer to the cookie crock to provide the path of travel. However, this now results in additional loss of 3 parking stalls. Secondly, I cannot find a shopping cart ordinance within the municipal code. So since there's no ordinance which identifies the required measures to prevent shopping carts from leaving the shopping centers, you will have to assume with the new ramp the possibility of shopping centers being dumped within to the neighborhood from patrons leaving Rite Aid and Cookie Crock. In addition, the wheel lock actually purchased new shopping carts to do in order to provide this. Third, the graffiti. As you can see, there have been the wall continuously is tagged, and in fact, I've been informed that Friday the wall was also tagged, and the property owner had to go out and take care of that as well. Fourth, in order to accommodate the ramp and the proposed water easement as conditioned by Public Works, we will need to move the stairs over to the corner of the block wall. So where the existing stairs are, they would need to be moved over basically to the corner to add the ramp, to add the striping, for the a perfect opportunity for skateboarders to do tricks and stunts. Ironically, while at the site this afternoon, I missed a perfect photo opportunity of a 15-year-old skateboarding doing stunts on the Cookie Crock's loading dock. So imagine a ramp with wonderful opportunities for a new skateboarder out on the site. Fifth, liability. Pedestrians and ADA individuals will have to cross over the truck delivery route to access the end landscaping area. So this is the back side of the delivery route side of the building. So I pose a question to you. Would you want to access the corner, taking the risk that you know that you would be crossing over the delivery truck route, knowing that a semi-truck will constantly deliver to the site. Again, while at the site this afternoon, I had to jump out of my way from getting hit from a delivery truck. Now, mind you, it was a sunny afternoon, and I was wearing a pink yoga tank and had common sense to move. But if you can imagine someone who is unable to move in time or doesn't notice that there is a truck coming in time or the driver sees them, what could happen? Personally, I would actually feel safe crossing the drive-through lane at Building Pad A over the delivery. Even with lighting in the rear, we still have to be careful about providing the correct lighting and the proper screening due to the residential neighbors. This area is lower and could attract unwarranted businesses in the corner, hence the graffiti. So in conclusion, per our Planning Commission hearing on April 16, 2013, we feel that we have addressed all the issues at this hearing. We are eager to begin construction and feel that this project revitalizes and brings new tenants to the shopping center area as well as the city of Arroyo Grande. The existing tenants are all here and are eager for the revitalization of
Thank you. John, let's start with you. Questions?
I just have more comments than
Okay. Kristen, any questions?
Let's see. The landscape architect, is he here?
No, he's not.
Okay. So as far as the landscaping goes, is there anyone else that can speak to that, or should I just make my comments during the comment portion? Or
if you would like to make your comments during the comment portion of regarding the landscaping, we will, like I said, it has to go back to ARC anyway, so we will make sure to incorporate those as well.
I think the last email with the, I think we've pretty much agreed on the species, but the locations are different. And so I just want to make sure that we can fix that.
Okay.
No, I don't have any more questions right now. Thanks, Liz.
Jennifer, do you have any questions? Thank you, Lisa. All right, is there anyone else from your team that wants to speak before I open it up to public comment?
Unless you have any questions.
Actually, I do have one question for you. The whole rear and striping and everything, is that it? It's all or nothing?
It is. The thought was to maintain the stairs and put a sign that says non-accessible path,
mm-hmm.
but then that kind of defeats the purpose of having an accessible path. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to force someone in a wheelchair to have to go all the way around the front. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can sign it. If we maintain the stairs, we can sign it, but it kind of defeats the purpose.
And the stairs are not keeping the skateboarders out anyway, right?
No, I mean, they're there. Like I said, I saw one today.
Right. Okay.
Them, even if, you know, police cars drive by and kind of look down there, now you won't have that. So I almost think that that's, I know what you're saying about, I see the graffiti, obviously. I think that once the shopping center gets the facelift with the, you know, you have landscaping way back mm-hmm. here, it's going to kind of have a whole new feel. And so, maybe you won't attract some of those people that have the graffiti, but I think if you close it off, I don't know. I think that's almost worse.
Kind of makes a dead corner.
Yeah, I mean, it really does, I think. So, I don't know. That's just food for thought.
It's up to public comment. If there's anyone that would like to come up and speak, we'd like you to limit your comments to 3 minutes. And when you come up, please state your name.
Good evening. John Belcher from San Luis Obispo. I'm an attorney here working with Bob Diaz, who's present. And I think you've heard his comments previous, the owner of Bob's Car Wash and the former. number of questions about the history of this. I just want to start off by saying that it is a difficult situation for planners to grapple with when you have these competing interests. I think both are longtime business interests in the community, and both have their contributions. I think as planners, what you want to do is figure out how to make this community work rather than one versus another. And I think the answer lies in a compromise that you've already been presented, drawn. For the Barb's Car Wash access aisle, and provides a reasonable layout for Building A. I think as planners, you want to encourage internal access in this, and not move to walls between the two businesses. And that was the original design for Bob's Car Wash, with accesses on both sides into the shopping center. That way, people aren't leaving. And always leaving and entering the site directly onto those busy streets and intersections. So, now why is it's required that you take both of the property owners into account? And one of the things I found, you have a series of findings that you have to make, but that the, particularly with respect to drive-throughs, and I take it that Building A is going to be a drive-through, although I guess it could change, but that's what I've had represented to me. The drive-throughs are not permitted if they have adverse impact on neighboring properties and improvements. So if someone's asking you for permission for a drive-through, then you have an extra planning concern to take into account the impact been available to this business. I think that as a planner, you want to encourage access between these properties and keep them as open as possible so that you don't separate them and create the impacts on Bob's Car Wash that this closure will do. There's another point that I think the attorneys that are here tonight and the planning director can speak to, which is that because the closure of that Bob's Drive aisle could create a significant adverse impact, you have a mitigation measure that you need to take into account. Significant impact. Now, you can choose among different options, but if there is a feasible option, then I think the law requires you to accept it. And I think the Omni Means drawing is a very feasible object. The only thing standing in its way, it seems to me, is that the shopping center owner doesn't want it. That's not a definition of feasible or infeasible. That's a definition of intransigence. So I would suggest that as planners, you keep the placeholder in place, you keep the space, they only have to move Building A over 12 feet, and you accomplish all these use the drive aisle or not is not really the question for the Planning Commission, as you heard your staff outline. We believe we do have legal rights to use of that area. The final point I'd like to make, and am I on a timer? And I kind of feel like...
I'll allow you another minute.
I think I've abused my privilege here. It seems like I've gone on a little too long. We're very concerned that this has now become a direction at Bob's Car Wash, and staff has asked you to consider examining their use permit, which, as you can imagine, to a business owner is quite for directing staff to come back to you on a use permit. And The section of your code says that the basis for this is to ensure that it is being operated in a manner consistent with conditions of an approval or in a manner that is not detrimental to public health, safety, or welfare, or material injurious to properties in the vicinity. Now, I think you know from the history that in 1993, the land use plan, the conditional use permit, was approved with the drive aisle in operation. So property owners or a problem. So what is the reason that you're being asked to go back and review this use permit? To me, it's more a matter of leverage. Hey, can we solve this on the backs of Bob's car wash? I don't find that in the basis for a planning commission directing review of the conditional use permit. To me, it's operating the same way with the same equipment that it has for many, many years. It's been the subject of three or four amendments to its use permit, so it's been examined. It's not operating in any way that's affecting the public. Formally used by the public. So I would suggest that you decline the invitation to specifically review Bob's car wash permits and deal with the permit that's in front of you, which is the shopping center, and go with the logical choice that was designed by traffic engineers that solves all the problems that seem to be involved in this. And I appreciate the time that you allowed me. I know it was excessive. And, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else?
And I just wanted to comment on the plan. 15 years ago, when we assumed the lease from Bonds on that particular location, there were plans in place or the idea in addition to that they were going to remodel that shopping center. Unfortunately, I wasn't bright enough at the time to get that a little bit tighter in writing that it actually would happen in a little bit faster. So 4 owners later, we have somebody that's desirous of actually making it look good. I know that the city and the council and commissioners have all been aware of this center for Ward is willing to participate. I think he's done a pretty darn good job on trying to take care of all of this. The Poplar stairs location, again, as the designer said, that, you know, it's been recently had custom paint jobs again, and I don't foresee that changing without that access being eliminated. And I would propose that it be eliminated because I don't think it serves any use whatsoever. Like I say, I've never seen a customer utilize that. I have seen lots of skateboarders use that, and we chase them off pretty regularly. So we'd appreciate that if that was taken out on our behalf as a business. My classmate, John, here in his nice, eloquent dissertation. I never went to law school. But the reality is that I still have, seems to me that it's not appropriate. And I think that was originally my staff was saying that this should be a separate issue. I don't know why my landlord has to be responsible and for the maintenance, be responsible for liability or any of the other stuff or taking care of a problem on a different property. If in fact there's been, you know, several amendments to their operational plan. Thereafter. So to put those together, I think, is not necessarily appropriate, but thank you, and I appreciate you guys this evening. Thanks.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Cynthia Harrigan, the Girls Restaurant. I just wanted to address the stair issue. Kristen's concern was that it would, you know, create where they could stay back there longer and do their tagging. Actually, it creates a quick escape route. Okay, the stairs, they tag and they're gone. If it's closed off, they're not going to be able to be listed. And of course, I was liable for getting the tagging off the back of the building. So it happens constantly. Right now, there's more tagging on the back of the building that we're going to have to remove. So it really creates a problem. The kids are in and out of there all day long. the county bus. They unload out there. They do a lot of damage, unfortunately, and I would really like to see that move, too, at some point. But that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, John, why don't you go ahead?
When there was a mention of shopping carts leaving the area, I looked at this huge parking lot and remember what's down there, and I noticed that there's no collection point in there for carts that are people have used and done. And I wondered if there's anything on our development code that requires those.
I can't think of a section. I think there meant to go ahead and include a condition that those shopping cart storage areas be included in the final landscape plan when it goes back to ARC.
Question I have right now.
All right, Kristen.
Yeah, thank you. Teresa, first I had a question. The woman that spoke that's the manager of the girls' restaurant, the tagging was on the back of the girls' restaurant or on the back of Cookie Crock? I was just confused because your restaurant is way up on
That's
Grand
right.
Avenue.
Yes. And what they do is they come through the back area. They will go along the buildings. And then when they see somebody, they take off running out the back of the center.
They just
out
jump
the steps.
That wall. It's not very high.
No, they don't jump the wall.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. Okay. That was my question. I just wanted to make sure I was following you. Mm-hmm. Thank
yeah.
you.
No, the child that I actually had arrested, I actually got a hold of him before he got out of the stairs. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I would have liked to see.
The comment about opening up the CUP, hasn't the use and the intensity of the use changed and we can open up the CUP for that alone? Of the car wash?
Again, just avoiding direct discussion on that CUP. In general terms, and examining the cumulative indirect impacts with the internal queuing, I believe it has, and staff's comfortable with the language in the code to open up to review and see about the possibility of opening up the CUP.
Okay, thank you for that. Can you just refresh my memory again from the last meeting? What specifically does the applicant not like about the Omni Means layout of the drive-thru? Oh.
The main reason is obviously we are providing a portion of his land.
Right, you're giving up property, and that's a big deal, and I just wanted to make sure, I kind of wanted to refresh my memory.
Because if someone entering, trying to want to turn left, or someone entering, now you do have some traffic issues as well there.
Because they're right next to each other.
Right. Oh, and yes, parking. It does affect, obviously, the parking as well down here. And thank you, Phil, on the front.
Okay, right. Okay, thank you, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have no more questions. Answers.
Questions? I have a question of staff. On that slide there, on the mitigation measure, the last part that's underlined, or demonstrate, or queuing shall be provided, on the car wash site to the satisfaction of the Planning Commission. Is that, that's a mitigation measure on the shopping center project, but the solution to that could be a lot of things. It could be site planning on someone else's property. Is that a, is that common that we can address it in that way? I understand the intent, but my problem is that could be a lot of things. That could be reorganizing how the car wash works. So it makes
understandable. Of course, we've been trying to identify specifically what can be done, and I think there are probably a menu of items that could be looked at. I would just suggest that this mitigation measure is provided for you to provide two options identified and disclosed to you to mitigate this indirect cumulative queuing impact that's been brought to our attention with this project, and that we would hope to have that resolved prior to any approval of the project. To go ahead and schedule that car wash CUP for your next meeting.
Which would then be tied to this CUP, this project.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
And understanding, again, findings for this project have to be made. This queuing impact, this indirect cumulative queuing impact has been identified as part of this project.
Okay. And then I know we're talking about the shopping center, but the car wash is not considered a drive-through.
Strangely enough, in our code, obviously it's a service that's provided to vehicular traffic.
Because I was reading, you know, in the findings for this drive-through, that they're required to queue. I think it said up to eight at a minimum eight cars, and queuing shall not interfere with on or off-site circulation patterns. So I understand it's not a car wash, but at the same time, I mean, a drive-through, but at the same time, I'm just wondering how that that's all for now.
So I think it's time for comments. And Lisa, we're going to start with you.
Okay. I think, as I said at the other meeting, I agree. I think it would be wonderful for the shopping center to have a facelift. It's definitely needed. I was very concerned at that meeting that I felt like the traffic issues hadn't been fully vetted by the Traffic Commission, so I'm really glad that that report went back to the Traffic Commission. They had a chance to review it and look at it, and I am comforted that they found it was okay, and they were willing to approve it that way. This project, that second solution, it's not something that's within the means of, I think, this developer to solve. It's within the means of the car wash to solve. This is all, you know, they must demonstrate, you know, the car wash has been modified or prohibit cars from queuing. That's not something this developer can do that's before us today. And so I don't like the idea. It seems to be the solutions we're coming up with are either they give a chunk of their property and maintain it for the rights of the car wash, or we pull the car wash people before us and make them come up with a solution before it happens. They've lined up things. They've added the landscaping. I think the additional signs and the traffic measures will help alleviate some of my concerns with it. I do think it is going to have some type of impact on the car wash, and I'm hoping that there will be a way to resolve that. But I don't know that I'm comfortable at this point putting that burden on this project. So I think I would be willing to go ahead and approve the project as it is, but without without that pulling the conditional use permit, because I do understand, too, that that seems very threatening to the car wash, and we don't want to do that. For the center, hopefully that will help the car wash also have clients who can get their car washed and shop. But there does need to be a way, and hopefully with the signage and the arbor, all of that will make it a more distinct passing or pedestrian crossing area. So that, those are my thoughts right now.
Thanks, Liz. I appreciate the time in coming back. I actually prefer the site plan now with the plaza up against the building, because I think it it gets it. It works better, and the lining the drive aisles up and the medians, I think, work really well. I agree to, I'm glad the Traffic Commission looked at it. I agree with their findings that I don't believe it's the responsibility of the shopping owner to mitigate a potential queuing problem that could be site planning on another project. So I don't know if that this has ever, I thought about this earlier, if the access has ever been closed off as a test or a run.
Okay. Sorry. A comment from the audience that that was tried at one time.
Suggested.
Okay, suggested at one time, but I guess we have not tried it.
Okay. So it's unfortunate. I wish there was a better solution to have these work together. Unfortunately, that access is there and people use it, and without really any rights to use it. So I'm looking at the shopping center tonight, and I think that it's a really well-designed project. I think it's going to benefit the community. I think they've done a lot to enhance approve the project. I agree with Lisa. I'm not sure how to work that mitigation. I'm not comfortable with making it hinge it on something that may or may not be done in site planning, because I see there's a bunch of different ways that could happen. And maybe traffic flows and it's closed off and it's not a problem. We don't know. So with the stairs in the back, I don't know if they can leave just the stairs as is, if they're existing, and not make it accessible. If they feel like it's a hazard and don't want people going back and through there, then I'm okay with that. I'm glad the trees are staying on the back of Magnolia. I think on Poplar Street, I think they're really nice trees, and the asphalt ground cover, I like that term. I saw it. I had to reread it. Is going away. I think it'll look that alone. It'll look nicer back there. So I think that's all I have for now. Thanks.
John?
Has to be taken care of prior to issuance of the building permit, and that means that this is basically putting it on the car wash to rectify before they can build a building permit. And they could take 10 years to come back with a plan and stop this project for a long time. And I don't think that that's the right direction to move, tying the solution to the building permit, because I think that they are willing to go ahead with it without that lane. So the pedestrian circulation, when we move that little area over to the restaurant off of the street. It was put out there on the street so that somebody walking down the street would feel comfortable using it. And that's what the master plan for that area encouraged. And now going to object to either one, but I think that it served a purpose out on the street. And as far as crossing the pedestrians, crossing the traveled lane, you can go down the shopping center the whole way of Grand Avenue, and every pedestrian access off of Grand Avenue crosses traffic. So why is the one that I have limited traffic on the drive-through causing a problem in that area? It just doesn't make sense to me. In the other corridors getting into the project from Grand Avenue. The other thing I asked to inquire about was the cart return thing. Let me get to some red line or yellow lines here. On the alternatives on page 17. Mitigation measure, whatever, due to a finding of the impact of less than significant. Now, I don't know that that's possible, less than significant, but it does give us an alternative to do that. Resolution Exhibit A on page 7, number 7, it talks about when we quit. This says, goes on and says adjacent to residential areas. Well, I don't remember that was what the screening was for. I thought it was for the whole site architectural of the whole area, the customers, the traffic going by and everything. So to say just to the residential area, which is very, very little in the shopping center, unless you want to say the residential area is a couple of blocks away that can see it. So I think it just almost says that they wouldn't have to screen anything by the way it's worded. There was I was at the Traffic Commission meeting, and it was suggested that on the far west entrance on Grand Avenue that we be concerned about the radius of those assured by the director that they will meet city codes. Still on page 7, 18, it says add a railing Building A Plaza on East Grand Avenue. Now, that's for the location if the plaza is on the street, right? So if we, then that probably will have to be modified at number 18. Oh. plan, I'm not sure exactly what number it is. It shows a lot of the utility. I guess it's a utility plan. And it shows the black backflow converters are for the that we always have trouble with being too big and too obnoxious and all that. It shows three of them on the property. Two of them are, excuse me, in a location that will really be in public view. Number 91 on the prints. And I just want to make sure that we have in there, in the landscape plan, that those are landscaped and hidden as much as possible. Used to be in there all the time, and now it's kind of slipped out. So we need to try to get that back in there. And then, of course, my freestanding electrical boxes, power panels, need to be in there. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Over in page 11, says the curb rail. To be have a handicap ramp there, and I wonder just how far from the property can we require that to be done, if that's because that's not even adjacent to this property. And then the one at Popular, of course, it is on the property, so or near the property. Also, there's a left turns, right turn out of out onto Elm, where that pork chop thing is going to be, and it doesn't identify in here which drive we're talking about, so it needs to say the north. Access rather than the other two. This would lead you to believe that they are all going to have that, and that's not what's going to happen. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, John. Kristen.
Thanks, Liz. The Omni means suggestions that you do incorporate, that you did incorporate. The plaza, I think that being moved closer to the building, I like it. I liked it closer to the street, the sidewalk, but to me it was a little odd, but I know you were trying to address those concerns from the design guidelines. I think I can see the detail on the landscaping that's between the sidewalk and the drive-through lane fronting Grand Avenue. They have Arbutus marina, which is a small tree. It's a patio tree. And I mean, the people on the sidewalk. I mean, I'm just trying to screen the cars that are coming through. If you're walking on the sidewalk, if you're a pedestrian, it needs some real attention to landscaping to make it, to soften it. And I think, all the little details of the shrubs, I can't see what those are, but I know the strawberry trees, those aren't going to do it. It has to be something different, and we can put that in our motion and we can work towards that. The tree still needs to be added in front of buildings. So I'll want to add that to a motion. The tree species, I think, have been addressed, but the locations are still incorrect. I want the biggest trees in the middle of the parking lot to provide shade for the people that are parking there and to break up all the hardscape. There are some larger trees to the left on the new landscape plan, but those need to be throughout. So I have some details that we can try to include in a motion on those. And I think get everyone else's point that you're tying it to this project, and I don't want to hold up this project. It's not fair. I don't want to put Bob out of business either, but I think that the Cookie Crock owner has let the adjacent property owner use his property, and I think that was a nice thing to do. I think it kind of stinks that now he might have a prescriptive easement, or he thinks he does, because he queued up on his property for so long. So I don't think that's fair at all. I don't. Finding that Mr. Belcher brings up that we have to make sure the drive-through isn't detrimental to the neighborhood. The drive-through, I don't think, is detrimental to the neighborhood. If Bob's car wash wasn't queuing up on the other person's property. So you have to sort of separate those. And so to me that doesn't make sense as well, because it's not detrimental. It's only detrimental because someone was being able to use his property to queue the cars up because the business has gotten bigger than was planned. So. And I think those are all my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. Well, when we heard this last meeting, my two main concerns were the possible conflict in traffic with the queuing lane, with Bob's car wash, and with compliance with our design guidelines. Other than that, I loved the idea that this whole place was getting upgraded. And I will say, I think my concerns have been satisfied. I actually met with the developer, and we talked for an hour and actually walked the property and saw how people walking on the sidewalk interact with that development and came up with ideas. But first I want to talk about the whole thing with Bob's car wash. I, too, think it is not the developer's problem to have to solve the conflict with Bob's car wash. I don't think they should be made to give up property. I don't think they should have to solve that problem. However, I was reluctant to go ahead when we knew there probably is going to be a problem. And really what I wanted was some kind of confirmation of who it is that does have to solve this problem. And I may be reading this mitigation measure incorrectly, but this whole thing about the CUP actually does make sense to me. I don't feel the wording puts the onus on the developer to solve the problem. I think it puts the onus on us to make sure that that conditional use permit clearly states what the responsibilities of Bob's Car Wash are. So I feel that just puts the responsibility on us to make sure that it reads accurately that Bob's Car Wash can operate as it sees fit as long as it doesn't cause any kind of queuing on Grand Avenue. And it puts it in writing and it puts it on record. And if it's on record, then I feel comfortable going ahead with this. So I read this as us just making sure it's on record about whose responsibility it is. And we can talk about that because maybe I'm just seeing that wrong. But I actually am in favor of this mitigation measure. As far as the design guidelines, I do think that this new plan complies with them, perhaps in a little different way than we usually see. It doesn't have Pad A right up on the street. But it does invite pedestrians to come into the development. I like the arch idea. I would like to see really good landscaping that shields the drive-through lane from view. The idea of having a plaza on the sidewalk, you know, it sounds really good. No one is ever going to sit there.
you know, what are they going to do, bring their own sack lunch or go into the restaurant and then walk over to it? You know, I just don't think that would be a normal human thing to do. So the idea of moving the plaza over to the restaurant, I think, is a good idea. As we were standing on the sidewalk, you know, plenty of pedestrians came by, lots of people with strollers, people in wheelchairs, other pedestrians, and I could see them with this arch and with nice landscaping and nice paving being invited to walk in to the restaurant. I do worry about them crossing the drive-through lane, but that drive-through lane, that's probably going to be the slowest traffic of anywhere on that property. They're kind of metered through that. They have just picked up their meal, and now they're coming out one at a time. So I think the conflict is minimized. So I do feel that we satisfied those design guidelines, albeit in a way that's a little different than usual. But I do think it will invite people in. Because those other buildings, building B and C, are already there, if they were built brand new, they would be up against the sidewalk. But they're already there. People already have to walk across the parking lot to get there. This, at least, makes that restaurant accessible. So I actually am happy with that. But I will want the landscape to come back to us to make sure it is adequate. And I do like Kristen's idea on the landscape, and I would like to see that back. Shopping cart collection, yes, I think we need to put that in as a condition. There needs to be some collection. And it does not need to be in the slot closest to the store because no one ever uses those. It needs to be out further, farther away. Condition of approval number 18 that talks about a railing around the plaza, I actually think we still need that. Even if it's right up against, the plaza is against the restaurant, I'd like people to be able to sit there with their kids and have the kids run around and not think that they're going to run right into the car lane. So I think having a railing makes sense there to separate them a little bit from the car lane. The southern access. I understand all the problems with it. And, you know, having to deal with that may have to evolve. I do think it's not as dark a corner as it used to be, or it won't be once the store is reconfigured. Because you're taking away some of the building there, it's going to be a lighter and brighter area. And I just think it makes good planning sense to have neighborhood access back there. I just think long-term, it just makes good planning sense, and I would prefer to see it stay there. So I would have to say I am in favor of the current design, and I am in favor of that mitigation measure, and I would want to go ahead with this. So,
I'm wondering, Liz, with the mitigation measure, would you be okay? I mean, I would be. I think you're right. I think we should look at and make sure there aren't going to be, implications created through this, and maybe there is something through the conditional use permit that can address it. I just hate to hold up the process of this, you know, to have them tied together because they are. I think they are separate matters. It is, you know, is this a good project on its own? And then there's another issue is there a use being made of a current property that's gone beyond what its current use is? And I don't know that we need to link them directly. I don't know if that, or if you want to keep them linked.
You know, I want it somewhere on record saying that at Bob's Car Wash, which I hope stays in business and does great, I want to see it thrive. Mm-hmm. I wish they've been able to work together, and it's sad that it's come down to this point where we have to separate it out, but I do want it somewhere on record saying that they are not going to be queuing up out on Grand. Mm-hmm. You know, does the current, their current permit specify that? It does say that all the cars can be kept on site. But somewhere, even if it's just us writing a letter, something has to say they are going to be kept on site. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't feel comfortable approving this knowing that there could be a potential conflict. So, you know, I
didn't know if we could break them up as two different measures or not.
I guess I don't see the need to do that. And I feel like we're covering the bases by doing that.
Is it the wording in this? Because what I have a problem with is it says documentation must be provided that demonstrates the operation of the car wash has been modified to prohibit cars from queuing. So to me, that says this has been done, and it's been modified pursuant to before a building permit is issued.
You know, maybe we could change it to say that the car wash will take steps to ensure cars will not be queuing on East Grand Avenue. I mean, even if it just says that, that's fine with that.
If it isn't, right.
Okay. And then that brings up the question, do we have to say that? You know, if there are cars queuing out there, are they violating anything at this point?
I would be comfortable if the wording just said car wash prohibits cars from queuing on East Grand Avenue. They may not have to modify their
offer. Yeah, which would be great. You know, I mean, it would be great if they didn't have to spend a penny and everything worked great. But I want some assurance that they will solve that problem.
Well, Kristen? But aren't we going to solve the problem? I mean, aren't they going to come to us? Or you're talking about...
Well, it depends if they keep that.
I think that's how we're solving the problem, is by making sure that it's on record that the onus is on them. And if we don't need to do that, then that would be great.
Well, what if we close down the access between now and the May 21st meeting, and then for so many days, and then we see how that goes? I mean, I think that I understand your point of view, but then I understand that if they don't have access anymore and cars queue out into the street, no one's going to let that happen. I mean, the police aren't going to let it happen. It's going to come to us somehow. It's going to come to the city somehow. We're going to have to fix it. So I have confidence that we're not going to just let cars queue into the street from now until forever. But I don't know how we get that down on paper. But I think testing it is a really good idea, but I don't want to hang this project up to test that. I want that to be separate.
Can we do something outside of this, specifying that? John, you have a comment?
Yeah, I have a couple of comments. I think that the CUP needs to be reopened and to make sure to that they are in compliance with the conditions of the CUP. Mm-hmm. And if they are, they have no problem. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just a cover us to make sure that they are doing exactly what the CUP says, and no more or no less, or whatever they're entitled to. I think one thing we need to recognize that the Planning Commission is not in the business of designing projects. We are to get the project and to interpret it, that it complies with the development code and all the different codes. We are not to design or tell anybody what to do. So it's their job to bring it to us, and we interpret it. So for us to start saying we're going to design it, where it's up to us to design it, or it's up to us to make that kind of decision, that's not up to us. It's not part of our job. So I just want to be careful about saying that we're going to get this back and design something to make it work. That's all I have.
Do you feel that by looking at their CUP that that's what we're taking on?
I'm afraid the way this is worded, it could be interpreted that we're going to design something, and I don't think it's.
Do you want to make sure that we focus all of our questions?
Can't make a finding unless I feel that this is not going to be a problem. That's the problem I'm having.
Yeah, and I agree 100%, and I wouldn't have brought that up, except in here it definitely says we're going to do the CUP.
I think the idea is in the interim that we would look at the CUP before the City Council could approve it, if that makes sense. So it would be held up, but, you know, depending on, you know, maybe we look at it and there's nothing. Like you said, it's fine. Age of the game, yeah.
I think we're all in agreement that Bob's Car Wash needs to keep their traffic on site. And I think the CUP that they have, that it says that they can do that. But does that solve our problem? Does that say that they will be kept on site?
I'd suggest that if the commission wishes to be able to have an opportunity to talk about
And I can understand that the wording of this mitigation measure can be problematic.
Yeah, I liked Teresa's wording, that just something along the lines of that the queuing will. Once again, though, I don't like putting approval for this developer's project, making it contingent on something that another business owner has to do. I think that's just my problem. I think we could, and I think we have the right separately, right, to look at the conditional use permit as a separate matter. But I don't know that we want to hold that up or tie the go-ahead of this project on that.
Could we say something like, or documentation must be provided that states that queuing will be required to be provided on the car wash site, something like that. Just
that would be documentation. From the city documentation.
It could be from the city.
That we're not asking it from Bob's Car Wash, just to clarify yes, I would be okay with that.
Okay.
Just a directive from the city. I mean, I know when we pick our kids up from school, you know, if they endlessly, so
I mean, I would be okay with that. John, does that make sense to you, or do you have something to say about that?
Teresa, what was the wording that you said you would thought might work?
Taking mitigation measure 16-1, we're starting where or. Documentation must be provided that demonstrates the operation of the car wash prohibits cars from queuing. So we're removing the words "has been modified" to.
Just the city for confirmation and to make sure. I think I'm comfortable with that too.
Correct. And again, it's in here because we have an existing position, existing condition that's out there now and was in, it's currently in operation, and it was at the beginning of our initial study of our environmental review, and we have a proposed condition, and that change is what's precipitating this mitigation measure, and that's why it's tied to the shopping center project. So that's why it's in here as a mitigation measure.
Mm-hmm. Does that still include the title of that?
The same project prior to project approval.
Or not. Right. Or not.
Prior to approval, that means we can't approve it tonight. That's.
But we're recommending.
Again, this is a recommendation to City Council, so the design of this mitigation measure is providing an opportunity to address the impact.
So that's just, okay. So we could recommend that be addressed, mm-hmm. that the City Council make sure that is addressed before they approve it.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about that documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Could be as simple as this conditional use permit needs to not this project. Is that what we're talking about? The documentation you were saying, just so the city's saying it's a responsibility, they're not queuing, and it's a responsibility of that conditional use permit to make sure it operates efficiently.
And that would address that mitigation.
Right.
Okay. I'd be okay with that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is anyone wanting to make a motion?
I'm not clear where we all stand on the rear access being closed, too. I know I didn't speak about that before. It is something that I'm torn on because I like the general plan, the idea that we have this interconnectedness to neighborhoods and have them do that extra expense for something that's going to create problems for them in the future. So I would tend to close it just based on what I'm hearing from the reality of the situation. Although I do, you know, understand in the city I'd like to keep that open if things were to change. So that's kind of where I stand. I think I know where Liz stands. And
well, I have a question on that, and maybe the applicant knows, because it's existing, can the stairs remain without the ADA access?
We also have staff. Sign it.
In the what?
The stairs can stand. I'll input staff's position here, and that is always to increase connectivity around projects. And I can't tell you how many opportunities have been lost in project approval over time for pedestrian and bike connectivity in favor of, you know, just vehicular entrances. And in a cumulative way affects the nature and function of our neighborhoods. Code. So it's an opportunity to improve this, make it inviting, make it lit. It will change the nature of it, as Commissioner Barnett mentioned, and it would provide that opportunity and that connectivity that's littered in our policy and code.
I'm totally for it. Yeah.
So how about someone makes a motion and then we can start?
Well, John had all the conditions there. I was going to.
John, do you want to make a motion since you had all those specific conditions you wanted to deal with? I have a list of them. And you can make the motion any way you want. I mean, it's your motion.
I move we adopt a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rio Grande recommending the City Council adopt a mitigated negative declaration and approve conditional use permit 12010, Development Code 13001, and Plan Sign Program 13001, located at 1205 East Grand Avenue, southwest corner of East Grand Avenue and South Elm Street. With the modifications that were discussed before.
Oh. John, you want me to list some of those?
Oh, come on.
including leaving the access to the rear open.
Would you like me to run through some of the items you've mentioned?
Got a whole list of them.
So when you say leaving the southern access open, you're talking about doing the whole thing, the ramp, everything, the way it's designed. Is that correct?
Pardon?
When you say the southern access, you also had condition of approval number 7, the wording about the roof screening. You want to change the wording on that?
Just think take out adjacent to residential.
Yeah.
So modifying language for condition of approval number 7, taking out the wording referring to the strictly the residential areas.
Yes. Okay, you also talked about condition of approval number 18 about taking the railing out off of the plaza.
And your suggestion is fine with me to leave
leave
railing
that
in the new on the new
with making sure it was accessible to trucks, or is that already included?
That's already included.
Okay. How about hiding the backflow valve with landscaping? The backflow valve?
Double detector,
yes.
Check valve.
That's
yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Add that as a condition, or is that already in there?
We need to add that, I believe.
Okay. Okay. Provide landscaping to...
electrical panels.
And what about the electrical panels?
That they be located inside buildings.
Okay. Shopping cart. And then the curb, ADA curb ramps. You had some concerns about that?
Yeah, that was more of a question. They're requiring one on the corner of Elm and Grand, which is not adjacent to this property. Can the nexus be made that needs to be done in this project?
I'll verify that prior to getting to council.
And then the CUP, did you want to change the wording on...
I don't think that's the one that asked for the CUP, is it?
Well, no, that's just...
The one on the very last page.
The documentation.
Yeah, that's just the documentation. There's a...
Because a recommendation is in two parts. Mm-hmm. One is for the MND and the project approval, and the MND is what you'd be recommending to modify, because that's where that mitigation measure is.
Okay.
And then the second one is strictly just a recommendation for staff to schedule that for a
for approval, or do you want to do
that?
I
think they said it was only going to ARC.
And ARC is fine? Do you think they'll understand what we want with...
Oh, maybe, but it's too important, so I want to have it come back to us.
Would you agree to that with your motion, John?
Yes.
Landscape, come back to us.
Okay, can I give you my specifics so that the landscape architect knows what to do, come back with, right?
Not in the motion.
Not in
you
the motion?
We probably don't need in the motion, do we?
Well, how's he going to know?
You can add it to the motion as long as the motion maker and the second agree.
Yeah. In the motion, that's going to go to the city council.
Well, I mean, you could put in the motion
when
that...
When you want to have it come back, uh-huh. I think you need to give them instructions. But
when it comes back, but then...
No, when...
He wasn't here for me to give instructions to, and so I'm talking to people. I mean, Jennifer can take notes exactly.
Do you want City Council to see what your recommendations are? Because maybe they could modify them. Would that be a reason to put it in the motion?
Well, before the City Council gives them, the RRC is going to see it again, too.
Right. I mean, I think that the new landscaping plan needs to have
and would bear with it. It would be better that she listed those changes now.
It'll be short.
John, if you're okay with that?
Yeah.
I won't be long-winded. Okay. Tristania be added in front of Building D in the center of the parking bay. That the screening for the drive-through lane is looked at for alternate tree species that are taller, larger. Oh, trees. Landscape architect knows I'm just not, on a whim throwing these things out here. That I recommend using tristanias between parking spaces for year-round shade. Tristanias only between parking spaces for year-round shade, and using Chinese pistache at the end of the parking bays for a colorful accent tree. That's it.
Discussion on the motion.
So no ramp on the back?
Not in this motion.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to picture someone.
Let's see.
My dad living in that neighborhood, or someone with a kid that wants to walk instead of drive. I guess my thought is on that back corner, maybe the more accessible it is, the more it'll be brought to light.
The problem I have with it is when you put that ramp in, all of the other things that are included in it. The pathway to the store, the change in the reconfiguration of the trash things to get the pathway through there, and I just don't think that it's would be used enough to go through all that modification. I just personally don't think you need it.
Okay.
I would just want to clarify what the where the motion is. So we are still, are we directing staff to bring that to the next meeting, or are we including the language we talked about before, simply that staff would provide some type of direction that the queuing would remain on the...
Well, there's two different parts. What page is the CUP part on?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to...
Because that's what...
Okay, so in the first part of the motion, again, the project and the MND, if I understood Commissioner Keene's motion correctly, that would be recommended for approval with the changed language for that. The second part of the recommendation is to schedule at your next hearing that COP for review.
And they're not tied together anymore. They still are tied together. So
I can't read that as they're not tied anymore.
Okay. That's just what I wanted to confirm.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading it in the two different places, and in the so in the motion it's different, I think, than in the... Okay. So it'll be a separate item to review, but then we'll have the writing that it is being looked at, that this project can continue on its own path regardless of.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
Commissioner Barnage?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Spiro?
Yes.
And Chair Ruth?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Does anyone need a break?
I do.
Okay, I'd like to call a 10-minute break before our next item. Welcome back to the May 7th Planning Commission meeting. We've just taken a short break, and we are now going to hear a non-public hearing item. Item 9A, review of landscape and lighting details for conditional use permit 13-001. Location is 1390 West Branch Street, which is Panera Bread.
Again, you're reviewing the landscape and lighting details for conditional use permit 13-001. The address is 1390 West Branch Street. I know we have said it's 1400. 1400 is the hotel site. 1390 will be the new restaurant site, just for clarification. So a little bit about the project again. It's on the northwest corner of West Branch Street and Camino Mercado, and it is zoned plan development 1.1. Now, the City Council approved conditional use permit 13-001 on March 26th. Again, this was for the 3,850 square foot fast food restaurant with a drive through. To return for the Commission's review, and those are final landscape treatments for the gateway corner of the West Branch Street Camino Mercado intersection, the exterior lighting details, and signage. Signage, it's good to note, is will be under a separate permit and will be reviewed at a later date, so that is not part of tonight's review. Staff has also included the review of feasibility for the pedestrian connection, as the applicant is proposing to utilize four compact parking spaces to achieve the Planning Commission's condition. With regard to landscaping, all of the conditions of approval that were building were conditioned to be fruitless olive trees. Originally, in the conceptual plan, there were two trees there. These have been, or three trees there. These have been reduced to two, given the space requirements of the fruitless olive trees. That comes from the landscape architect working on the project. Additionally, down here at the gateway corner, to address the four storm drains, the applicant has indicated creeping fig to be placed around the concrete kind of encasements of the storm drains on the first three storm drains from the corner, and then coast rosemary would be used in rock rose. So here's a little bit closer detailing that shows some of the vegetation that will be used. So again, the creeping fig will be included on the concrete encasements of the storm drain. The coast rosemary, as you can see here, would be five of them would be planted along the farthest west storm drain, and then here's an image of the rock rose, which is down here in the ground cover B. With regard to lighting, the new lighting includes the relocation of cast wall lights, as well as five new pendant lights down here near the drive-thru, and 13 new gooseneck shield lights. And again, here's a closer detail of what all of these will be. So there will be one of these downcast shield lights, one more of these, four of these downcast shield lights, as well as 13 gooseneck lights, and then five of the pendant lights. And the lighting plan also, as I learned how to read it, the red areas outline where the lighting will be contained to. So this large area is a result of the taller parking lot light, as well as some of these with regard to the pedestrian connection and compact parking, Planning Commission condition of approval number 68 read to investigate the removal of up to two parking spaces for the addition of a pedestrian connection from the second tier parking area to the restaurant entrance. Feasibility shall be determined by the community development director. Now, the applicant has included a non-accessible ramp in the vegetated area near the oak tree. This was done utilizing four compact parking spaces to the east side of that second-tiered parking tier due to a precedent. The standard space is 9 feet by 18 feet, which is discussed in Municipal Code subsection 1656-070A1. And then here's a diagram of what I'm referring to. So the new non-accessible pedestrian path would be included from the second tier, running through the landscape area directly adjacent to the existing oak tree, along with four compact parking spaces to the far east of that second tier parking area. That summarizes adopt a resolution approving the landscaping and lighting details and foregoing the pedestrian connection due to the precedent of compact parking spaces. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer, questions?
Yes, thanks, Liz. So was there any spots removed, or was it just the four were squeezed down to compact?
So no parking spaces were actually being removed. So the total number is still there. However, the issue does come up of, because the compact parking spaces are not identified in the code, staff doesn't believe you can ...23 parking spaces provided. You come with 119 parking spaces provided.
And what was the required again?
Total required is 138 under the parking reductions for the mixed occupancy with the hotel. They were providing 123. I did calculate that out. If you were to remove those four parking spaces from the total area, it would be a 14% reduction. They can have up to 20.
So did we look at leaving them standard size and taking out one space?
That would be non-inclusion of the compact parking spaces might kind of forego the entire pedestrian connection.
No. Okay.
Might make it infeasible, rather.
Thank you. Okay. Didn't we talk, there was talks of removing, I thought, a parking space up front, and I don't know if somebody else can recall if that was just for, if it was for landscaping up front or for access, but.
It's for landscaping.
Okay. That's all my questions, so thanks.
Okay. Kristen?
Yeah, thanks, Liz. The parking that's there now, it's just, it's going to be shared. There's never anybody parked. When I drive by, it seems like almost there's no one parked close to the street at all. So, you know, depending on how everybody feels, I may be comfortable with, if not the compact, just reducing, you know, a couple spaces. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a problem there. So and maybe I'm not reading the landscape plan correctly, but Matthew, can you put that back up there on the? Yeah. So I see the extra planting. The extra detail right there. And what about the other three storm drains? What's in front of those?
Where are the other three storm drains you're referring to?
Right here?
The creeping fig.
These three? Those
just
all have
the creeping fig,
yes.
There's no other...
It's, I believe, in the line of sight, so that needs to stay low.
Correct. So because of the sight distance issue at that intersection, nothing can be higher than 3 feet within that vision triangle.
So it's just the creeping fig until we're sort of beyond those, right?
And the ground cover, correct?
Only be to a certain extent given the safety concern.
Right, okay. Okay, thanks.
John?
Well, I went through this compact parking debacle a long time ago, and it was pretty well decided from council to everybody that we would not allow compact parking spots. It's not in our code, and I am not for putting it in there. Out before, I'm all for it, but I'm not going to vote for compact parking spots. I just went through that. That was a big deal at one time. The lighting looks good. I'm pleased.
We have questions for staff right now, if you want to.
Oh, okay.
We'll come back and give you a full due for comments. Any questions for staff? No? Okay. Lisa? And I don't have questions for staff either. I think I'll ask the architect.
MW Architects, 478 Rosemary Lane. Thank you, commissioners. And I apologize for the compact parking space. That's that's all coming from me. So I was hoping that that could be a win-win for the client, trying to retain as many available opportunities to park and meet the intent of accessibility. I've other agencies allow you to introduce compact parking requirements per the city standard. And in this case, I was stretching that interpretation as allowing up to 20% reduction, which if we're required 138 spaces, I could technically park 111 spaces for this project, but I don't think that's a good idea. So that's where I was going with the compact, is that it was, I was thinking it was a win-win for the owner and win-win for the city, allow you flexibility. It's not a, I don't think it's a deal killer for us. It came up to me tonight that Matt mentioned that a building is now saying that it has to be wheelchair accessible, which I don't think I agree with building on that topic. So I don't know if we have a resolution on that part. It's going to meet all the other accessibility requirements for pathways with, you know, proper designation on steps, railing. But for wheelchair, they've given primary access right at the front of the building. The infeasible component of this solution, if that is required to have a handicap ramp from that second tier, which if that's the case, then I've got to provide a handicap space. I'm losing more parking spaces. The slope is a challenge because you got to maintain 2%. So, you know, it becomes a big issue if it goes down that path. So I don't know how to resolve that component with Jonathan. The planting component, I think the four concrete bolts, there's a creep. So that it doesn't obscure the view triangle, but it'll help mitigate some of the visual components on the front, along with the creeping vine. And I believe the lighting, I think we didn't have a plan with this the last time, so I'm open for any questions on that. And we didn't have a sign package because that's coming from Panera. And they're going to come in separate with their package. And I've been pushing them all last week. Apologize. And I'm open for any questions. Oh, and Kristen, I did. There wasn't a comment about removing a parking space for landscaping, but I think, Kristen, you had mentioned you would like to see more landscaping. I actually squeezed in some more planter next to the parking space.
Where, Michael, is that? Is that?
Let me see if I can get this to work.
Oh, next to
yeah,
the patio.
Yeah, I actually added that. So I went ahead and incorporated that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I'll put a little sign. This is a
thanks. So could you just put a couple stairs instead of a path, and then it would...
What the plans show, like, four steps.
Oh, it does?
Correct.
Okay, it just looks like a path to me, which I just thought was... I didn't know why you wouldn't put a couple stairs there.
I had a drawing that showed steps, so I thought staff had sent that to Matt today. No?
Okay.
We're trying not to cut into the root. We're trying to avoid cutting into the root.
Okay.
Of the oak tree, so that was one of the components.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yep, that's it. Sorry.
So if we just lose one or two parking spaces, and we don't have any compact spaces, and we lose one or two spaces, and we can still have the...
Well, we can lose one and make it work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Always, you have city ordinance that requires a minimum, but now you have the users that always want more.
So
I'm trying to
work
with both.
Lose. Okay.
They've never said that to me. That's okay. Just my experience with retailers.
Right.
They always want more parking spaces.
He wants us to set a precedent so he can go to these other customers.
No, maybe we can draft a new ordinance.
John's insulted by your compact.
I'm sorry, John.
I thought I brought him up for a second.
Okay.
So, I guess I was going to ask, Kristen asked, why do we need so many parking spots? Does the hotel seem to have a need for a lot of parking spots? Like, whenever I'm there, there's no one there. I mean, as far as in the parking lot, I'm sure there's plenty of people in the hotel, but I haven't seen it overflowing.
I mean, it's with every project. You know, the ordinance tries to design parking spaces based on use, and as a developer, when you develop properties, to try to mitigate the needs of the user and the needs of the city.
So you're just trying to maximize.
And it's a balancing act for me, is to try to mitigate the city's requirements and try to make it, you know, the users of the property or the retailers, you know, a lot of their income is based on what parking. In retail environments, they want 5 spaces per 1,000. Whereas the city will say, well, we only require 3. Well, you on the job. So we're always trying to balance that with development.
I wanted to thank you for making these plans really clear, where the changes were with the red outlines and everything. That really helped me. To
this way it should always be, but we're not always good at that.
All right, any more questions?
Yeah.
John?
What is the lighting like, or is there any on that entrance off of the street? Because I don't remember what it looks like at dark. Where you come.
And that's the one that we're having to relocate.
Oh, I thought the one you relocated. That's not. Can you get the parking lot picture, please? I thought the one you relocating was over here.
No, this one's over there by the handicap space.
Okay, I just wonder what's out here where you come right off of the street.
Well, you got the city light standards. I'm not sure what the spacing is on those.
Okay.
Up that street.
I'm just curious. Thank you.
The public, is there anyone that would like to speak on this matter? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to us for comments.
Jennifer, comments?
Looks good. I'm ready to move forward with with the stairs incorporated into the ramp and no compact spaces, just losing one parking space to make that work. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Kristen?
Ditto, exactly what Jennifer said.
Same here. John, you going to fight for those compact spots? Okay, I tend to like compact spots because the biggest cars always park there. And they just are meaningless. I still have an open question about whether this is going to have to be ADA or not.
So staff did discuss this with both the building official and the community development director. The director feels that given that the disabled or handicapped parking is already near the front entrance as well as, let me see if I can find a better site plan. As well as the fact that from where the proposed around the parking lot, in addition to the fact that if you wanted to maintain grade, you would have to loop it in that sort of fashion anyway.
Okay, so we could go ahead with this plan without having to.
Staff believes that's correct, yes.
I do want to thank Jennifer for bringing these things up in the first place. I don't think we'd be seeing this again if you hadn't made the comments that you did, and I think they are valuable. They're really, you know, we worry so much about pedestrian access, but when you look in this parking lot, there's very little, and I think this will make it a lot more convenient. And if we didn't do this, there would be a path through there anyway. People. So I would want to move forward with approving this resolution, losing one parking spot so that they aren't compact. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone want to make a motion?
Now the resolution is stated here. Teresa's, I can just modify. Rio Grande approving landscaping and lighting details located at 1390 West Branch Street, northwest corner of West Branch Street, Camino Mercado intersection, applied for by NKT Development, with the removal of the four compact to be standard spaces, removing one space to accommodate the pedestrian path with the four stairs.
I'll second.
All right, any discussion? Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Sparrow?
Yes.
Commissioner Barnage?
Yes.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
And Chair Ruth?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Peachy?
Thank you.
All right, on to item 10, notice of administrative decisions. There are none. And item 11.
There's a lot of discussion regarding revisions to the People Self-Help project that we had previously approved due to economic changes in the 2 years since when they did their proposal. They find themselves having to make some changes to basically they're $500,000 over budget, I think, and so I think that's going to be coming before us in at a coming meeting as an administrative item. I just thought I'd raise that, so if you guys have any questions now, or we can talk about it then.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you. The Pier 1 is going up and looking really good.
It does. It looks nice.
I just had a question. Should we give you our summer vacation schedule?
That would be helpful, certainly. You can just email that to Debbie, and we'll make sure we have quorums on the Planning Commission dates.
All right, staff communications.
And once again, coming before you to try to solicit one member for a stakeholder group, and this is York Bridge, and we have received grant funding, I think I mentioned it before, to pursue a rehabilitation or replacement project. So just by virtue of it being a historical bridge and us doing something to it, you can imagine it has potential to be controversial. We're really wanting to be very careful and review alternatives for the Bridge Street project carefully. We are forming a stakeholders group to help staff solicit input from the community and provide for the stakeholder group over the next several months. That's the gist of it. We have somebody, Mr. Hart from the Historic Resources Committee, Mr. Russum from the Architectural Review Committee, and so I'll solicit hopefully one of the member from the Planning Commission and then members from several of the community groups in the city. So with that, I'd invite
Are they public hearings? Are they public meetings? Are they all public meetings?
They'll be open to the public, yes.
Okay. But so they'll be in here probably?
They'll be probably upstairs at City Hall.
And do you, like, once a month, twice a month? I mean, what's the timeline?
I really foresee three for sure, but I don't know how, you know, the environmental review for this project could go on, so it could go past that, as one starting in June. And then setting a schedule from there.
Okay. I'm really interested in being representative for that, if no one else is. But, okay. But it's just since it's over the summer, that's the only thing that sort of,
I mean, could you send a substitute? I mean, would that work if she could get a substitute
great.
When she was
sure.
not there?
I'm only going to be gone for about 2.5 to 3 weeks at the very end of July into August.
And then you should be fine.
Okay. Okay.
Sure, I'll do. All right. Do we need a motion or anything, or just the volunteer?
I think if you are all nodding, we're good to have that volunteer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kristen.
You're welcome.
Okay, that brings us to adjournment. I will entertain a motion.